Good morning, and thanks to all of you for attending this public hearing. It's one of three hearings that we at the Environmental Protection Agency are holding to take comment on our proposed emission standards, which will control mercury and other air toxics from coal and oil-fired power plants. We're holding a second hearing today in Chicago, and the third hearing will be this Thursday in Atlanta. I'm Rob Brenner, and I'm the director of EPA's Office of Policy Analysis and Review, and I will be chairing this hearing today. On the panel with me are Kathleen Cox, the Associate Director for Permits and Air Toxics in EPA's Region 3 office here in Philadelphia, Paul Versace from EPA's Office of General Counsel, and Kevin Culligan, who is an Associate Division Director with our Office of Air Quality Planning and Standards located in North Carolina. On March 16th, the EPA proposed mercury and air toxic standards for coal and oil-fired power plants. These Clean Air Act standards would significantly reduce emissions of toxic air pollutants. Toxic air pollutants are also known as hazardous air pollutants, and they're known or suspected of causing cancer and other serious health effects. In addition, we've proposed to revise Clean Air Act standards known as New Source Performance Standards, and they reduce emissions of particulate matter, sulfur dioxide, and nitrogen oxides from new coal and oil-fired power plants. Power plants emit mercury, arsenic, chromium, nickel, organic air toxics, acid gases, and other harmful air pollutants. They're the largest domestic source of mercury emissions to the air. Once mercury from the air reaches water, the microorganisms in the water can change it into methylmercury, which is a highly toxic form that builds up in fish. People are primarily exposed to mercury by eating that contaminated fish, and children's developing brains are especially susceptible to damage from this exposure. The effects of that exposure include reductions in their IQ and their ability to learn. We estimate that by 2016, the proposed power plant mercury and air toxic standards would prevent 6,800 to perhaps as much as 17,000 premature deaths annually, as well as provide many other health and environmental benefits. The portion of those benefits that can be quantified total more than $59 billion a year and could be as much as $140 billion a year in benefits annually beginning with the year 2016. Those benefits far outweigh what we estimate the cost of this regulation to be, which is just under $11 billion a year. In addition, implementing these standards would also create good jobs for American workers, building, installing, and operating the equipment that's needed to reduce these health-threatening emissions. Since proposing this rule, we've updated some of the mercury emissions data used to develop the proposed standards. We do not expect that update, which corrects a calculation error with a small amount of the data that we used to develop the rule, to change the types of pollution controls necessary to comply, or the tremendous benefits that I just described for public health. We've made the corrected data available for public review on our website and in the docket that's assigned to this rulemaking. Currently, there are no existing federal requirements for power plants to limit their emissions of toxic air pollutants like mercury, arsenic, and metals. The prior administration finalized a rule to cut mercury pollution from power plants, but the D.C. Circuit struck down the rule as illegal and required EPA to develop standards that follow the law and the science in order to protect human health and the environment. Today, we will be accepting comments on all aspects of our proposal. Written transcripts for all three hearings will be available as part of the official record for the rule, and we will consider them as we move forward to complete a final rule in November of this year. We're also accepting written comments for the proposed rule until July 5th, 2011. There's a handout available in the registration area with detailed information for submitting written comments by either mail, fax, or electronically. So let me describe the procedures for today's hearing. I'm going to call the scheduled speakers to the microphone in pairs. When it's your turn to speak, If you could start by stating your name and your affiliation before you begin your testimony, that would be very helpful. And it would also help our court reporter if you would spell your name. In order to be fair to everyone, please limit your testimony to 5 minutes each. I think you may have, many of you may be aware that we have had requests to speak for each five-minute increment available today until pretty late this evening. So if you could limit your testimony to 5 minutes each and remain at the microphone until both speakers in a pair have finished, we'll be able to work through all of the sets of comments in a timely way. After you finish your testimony, I or other members of the panel here may ask some clarifying questions. And to the extent you're able to be very efficient in presenting your testimony, that will give us more of an opportunity to ask you some questions and have a bit of a back and forth, which can be very helpful to us. And if, in addition to the transcript of your testimony, you would also like the full text of your written comments included in the docket, just give us a copy of your written comments. You can give it to the staff at the registration table where you came in, and they'll make sure that it gets into the docket for the rulemaking. We have a timekeeping system, and that consists of green, yellow, and red lights. When you begin speaking, the green light will come on. You'll have 5 minutes to speak. The yellow light will signal that you have 2 minutes left to wrap up your comments. And when the red light comes on, that means that your 5 minutes has passed, and I'm going to ask you to try to move quickly to wrap up your testimony. So the hearing is going to go from now, this morning, and we'll continue until 8 tonight or later if we need to, depending on the number of speakers that come in this evening. The hearing will go on recess during the scheduled lunch break from 12:30 until 2 p.m., and there'll be a dinner break from 5 until 6:30, and then we will reconvene promptly at the end of those two periods at 2 o'clock and 6:30, respectively. We intend to stay until the evening until everyone has an opportunity to comment. And if you want to testify but you have not yet registered to do so, please sign up at the registration table. And if we can find a way to work you in during the course of the day, hopefully soon, we will make every effort to do that. For those of you who have already registered to speak, we've tried to accommodate your requests for specific time slots. It's a little hard to predict exactly how the timing will go, and we're going to ask for your patience as we proceed through the list of speakers. There's a chance we may need to make a few adjustments to as the day goes on, but we're going to try to be respectful of your time and get you the opportunity to testify as close to the time you requested as possible. So thanks again to all of you for participating today, and we should go ahead and get started. First two people to testify are Rabbi Daniel Schwartz from the Scranton Area Ministerium and Pennsylvania Interfaith Power and Light, and Deborah P. Brown from the American Lung Association. Welcome, Rabbi Schwartz, and please get started.
Good morning. I'm Rabbi Daniel Schwartz, SWARTZ, from Pennsylvania Interfaith Power and Light and the Scranton Area Ministerium. I want to thank the EPA staff and Administrator Lisa Jackson for the opportunity to share comments this morning and to say thank you even more for proposing a strong rule designed to protect our children and future generations from devastating consequences of mercury pollution. I'm here this morning in several roles as the Vice President of Pennsylvania Interfaith Power and Light, one of 38 affiliates of Interfaith Power and Light, a national effort of more than 10,000 congregations and individuals of faith to give voice to faith-based moral perspectives on climate change and energy use. As a rabbi who seriously takes the prophetic call for justice, and as a father of my 11-year-old daughter, Alana, who has accompanied me here all the way from Scranton because she too believes so passionately in the importance of this role. The devastating impact of mercury pollution on developing minds has been well understood and widely accepted in the scientific community for decades. And yet we have failed as a nation to require the biggest polluters, coal-fired power plants, to do all that they can do to protect it, to prevent it. We have, in effect, subsidized the poisoning of fetuses, babies, and young children. This is wrong. What's worse is that those most affected, because they live near pollution sources or subsist to a significant extent on game fish, are disproportionately among the least powerful, least well-to-do members of our society. These children already face significant challenges: underperforming schools, inadequate health care, unsafe neighborhoods and homes, and more, placing the extra burden of brains short-circuited in their development by mercury is neither moral nor fair. EPA's proposed mercury rule goes a long way in addressing these injustices. My daughter and I ask you to please keep it strong so that all of America's children can have brighter futures. I'd like to close with a brief comment on one aspect of the March 2011 regulatory impact analysis of the proposed toxics rule. As is unfortunately required by the Office of Management and Budget, you included in this analysis a look at overall benefits under a 7% discount rate. A discount rate that high means that future benefits lose half their value every 10 years. Because the benefits in question are the health and well-being of our children, that discount rate essentially puts the future of our children on half-price sale each decade. I know of no parent who believes or acts as if their children lose half their value every 10 years, even if there might be days when our children seem to precipitously drop in value. As a parent, I think that the discount rate is inaccurate, and as a person of faith, I believe it is profoundly wrong and unjust. When calculating intergenerational benefits, such as when dealing with climate change, EPA has previously used a 2.5% discount rate. Because we are dealing with impacts that stay with children their entire lives, a 2.5% rate would be both more accurate and more appropriate from an ethical standpoint. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much for that testimony. Ms. Brown?
Good morning. My name is Deborah, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, last name is Brown, B-R-O-W-N, and I serve as the CEO for the American Lung Association of the Mid-Atlantic, which encompasses Delaware, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and West Virginia. I'm here today to protect residents of the Mid-Atlantic from the hazardous air pollution. I support the EPA's proposal to clean up hazardous air pollutants from coal-fired power plants. I support the move to close a toxic loophole that has existed in 20 years. I believe all Americans deserve to be defended from dangerous and sometimes lethal air pollutants. Coal-fired power plants produce electricity from the nation's power grid, but they also produce more hazardous air emissions, such as arsenic, mercury, formaldehyde, and hydrogen chloride than any other industrial pollution source. Burning coal releases chemicals into the atmosphere that threaten not only the air we breathe, but the water we drink, the soil we live on, and the food we eat. Over 386,000 tons of 84 separate hazardous air pollutants spew from 400 plants in 46 states, according to the American Lung Association's report, Toxic Air, the Case for Cleaning Up Coal-Fired Power Plants. And hopefully you all had a chance to see the advertisement that the American Lung Association placed in the Philadelphia Inquirer yesterday, which quotes and makes reference to this information as well. Emissions threaten the health of people who live near these plants, as well as those who live hundreds of miles away. Many of these plants are concentrated in the Ohio Valley and the Southeast, but their toxic emissions threaten the air and communities throughout the country. In 1990, Congress took action to protect Americans from these airborne hazards. Congress added special requirements in the Clean Air Act to require the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to clean up toxic substances. After 20 years of delays, it is finally time for EPA to require the electric utility companies to clean up these dangerous emissions. These cleanup requirements are based on what many existing plants are doing. In fact, many plants in Pennsylvania already meet these requirements. This would level the playing field for all utilities and would let them clearly know what is expected going forward. This rule will hold power plants accountable to the same standards that other industries have been held to nationwide. Many plants outside Pennsylvania spew toxic pollution that spreads into our state, but we in Pennsylvania can't make them stop spreading pollution here. This rule will require that those plants be much cleaner, providing healthier air for all. Have you ever watched someone battling to breathe, a child gasping for air? I have watched my own family as well as others, and I will tell you, it is heartbreaking. Hazardous air emissions can make breathing difficult. It can worsen asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, bronchitis, and other lung diseases. These pollutants can also cause heart attacks and stroke, lung cancer and other cancers, birth defects, and premature death. By cleaning up these plants, we know we will save lives. As the association responsible for protecting the lung health of over 24 million people who reside in the Mid-Atlantic, I ask you today not to wait another 20 years. The impact of clean air is immediate. Start now. Thank you.
Thank you. I have one question for Rabbi Swartz. Could you say a bit more about the Pennsylvania Interfaith Power and Light Group?
Sure. We're one of the newest affiliates of a national program that started in 1998 by Reverend Sally Bingham of Interfaith Power and Light. We were started about a year ago by concerned people of faith, clergy, and lay leaders, headquartered in State College now with one part-time staff person. But we've already signed up dozens of congregations across the country, across the state of Pennsylvania. And we're all trying to take seriously a look at the ethical implication of our own energy use, of our society's energy use, and how what we do often thoughtlessly in turning on lights and using energy affects so many people, and how to be more moral in that behavior.
Thank you. Let me ask my colleagues if there are any additional questions. Thank you very much. Next up, we have Charles McFedrin from the Citizens for Pennsylvania's Future and Robin Mann from the Sierra Club. Okay, Mr. McFedrin.
My name is Charles McFedrin. That's McPhedran. I'm speaking today on behalf of Citizens for Pennsylvania's Future, or Penn Future. Penn Future works for a healthy environment, clean energy, and a strong economy across the state. I'm the chair of our law staff, represents Penn Future members and other groups in litigation.
Would you bring the microphone a little bit closer to you?
I'm here today in support of effective regulation of mercury and air toxics emissions from coal and oil-fired power plants. Pennsylvania is ground zero for mercury pollution. In 2009, EPA's toxics release inventory placed us second nationally for emissions of mercury and mercury compounds to the air from power plants. A recent report by the Environmental Integrity Project ranked the Shawville plant in Clearfield County as having the highest rate of mercury emissions in the country. Mercury is a persistent bioaccumulative toxin. As EPA states in its proposal, mercury places special risks to pregnant women and fetuses. Past studies have estimated that as many as 1 in 6 women of childbearing age have mercury in their blood above the level that would pose a risk to a developing fetus. Given our high emissions of mercury in Pennsylvania, it is no surprise that our Fish and Boat Commission has issued a sport fish consumption advisory based in part on mercury pollution. In addition to its health and environmental effects, mercury contamination of Pennsylvania fish threatens negative impacts for recreational fishing, which the Fish and Boat Commission estimates has an economic impact of $1.35 billion per year. In August of 2004, in the absence of federal mercury emission standards, Penn Future led a coalition of over 60 environmental, public health, sportsmen, and other organizations to petition Pennsylvania DEP to regulate mercury emissions from power plants. In 2007, DEP issued a final rule requiring mercury reductions from existing coal-fired power plants of up to 90% by 2015. However, after federal court action on EPA's Clean Air Mercury Rule, Pennsylvania Supreme Court invalidated the Pennsylvania Mercury Rule due to limitations on state rulemaking. Now, after the loss of our strong state rule, we need federal leadership to address mercury. Penn Future supports the EPA proposal, which offers 91% mercury emission reductions. In addition to mercury, Penn Future supports the remainder of the air toxics proposal. Our electric utilities lead the nation in annual arsenic emissions. Besides reducing arsenic, reducing air toxics by regulating fine particles offers the opportunity for significant co-benefits in Pennsylvania, where all or part of 23 counties do not attain fine particle standards. According to EPA, the proposed rule will prevent up to 17,000 premature deaths, 11,000 heart attacks, and 12,200 hospital and emergency room visits each year. As EPA notes in its proposal, the regulation of other industries, utilities are by far the largest remaining source of mercury in the United States. It It's time to move forward with a strong rule to regulate mercury and air toxics. Penn Future supports EPA's proposal.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Robin Mann, M-A-N-N, with the Sierra Club. Good morning. My name is Robin Mann, and I'm president of the Sierra Club. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning. I'm very proud to be here on behalf of the Sierra Club's 1.4 million members and supporters, asking the EPA to protect our health from toxic mercury and other air pollution from power plants. In particular, I'm proud to speak on behalf of the 300,000 Americans who have submitted comments to your agency online, voicing strong support for the proposed mercury and air toxic standard. This long overdue proposal would establish the first ever national limits on power plant emissions of heavy metals, including mercury and arsenic, acid gases, dioxin, and other air toxics. As the EPA has recognized, and many of the experts here today will testify, these chemicals are a special class of pollutants that are extremely harmful to human health. Air toxics are linked to cancer, heart disease, neurological damage, birth defects, asthma attacks, immune system damage, eye irritation, and even premature death. It has been a long wait for these standards, too long to wait while corporate polluters have been allowed to emit air toxins with impunity. 20 years ago, these common sense controls on power plant emissions were mandated as part of the Clean Air Act amendments. For 20 years, the coal industry has managed to evade their obligation to stop the uncontrolled dumping of mercury and other air toxics into our air and water. Even now, while the technology is readily available, the costs are affordable, and the public health benefits are so clear, Big Coal is mounting an intense campaign to resist cleaning up the oldest and dirtiest power plants. The Environmental Protection Agency has the fundamental responsibility to protect public health and the environment by preventing the toxic contamination of our air and water. The American public has the right to clean air and clean water. Yet our power plants are the largest remaining unregulated source of mercury and several other toxic air pollutants. While the coal industry would have it otherwise, the proposed mercury and air toxic standards would finally rein in this life-threatening pollution. The Sierra Club stands in full support of the EPA's effort to finally shoulder its commitment to clean up dirty power plants and protect public health. Right here in Pennsylvania, the mercury and air toxic standards will make a significant difference. In total, Pennsylvania's dirty coal-fired power plants emit 15,550 pounds of toxic mercury into the air each year. An estimated 1,359 premature deaths that occurred in Pennsylvania in 2010 are attributed to toxic emissions from power plants. This is a chilling statistic. And thousands of Pennsylvanians have suffered other illnesses as a direct result of airborne toxics from dirty coal-fired power plants. For example, Genon's Portland plant in Northampton is harming the health of Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents who live nearby the plant. In 2010 alone, 30 premature deaths, 54 heart attacks, 500 asthma attacks, 19 chronic bronchitis episodes, and 20 asthma-related emergency room visits were attributed to the Portland plant's toxic air emissions. If enacted, the EPA mercury and air toxic standards will eliminate 91% of these dangerous pollutants from the air in Pennsylvania and around the country. The new standards will protect our health and benefit our economy with reduced costs for medical care and other services. In closing, I'd like to share a personal reason for supporting the mercury and air toxic standards. My first grandchild was born in March, just after EPA announced its intention to establish these standards for power plant pollutants. I feel very blessed. My granddaughter, Elsie, is a healthy and happy newborn. And yet it might not have been so. My daughter-in-law grew up in a fishing community, and fish was a dominant part of her diet. Fortunately, learning of the health risks of absorbing mercury from contaminated fish, she underwent testing and discovered that her mercury count was high. She modified her diet and was able to rid her body of the contamination before she and my son started a family. Young parents, like my son and daughter-in-law, make a concerted effort to protect their infants and children, but they cannot control the quality of the air they breathe. It is the responsibility of the EPA to protect the fragile lungs, brains, and bodies of children from dangerous pollution. For the sake of my own granddaughter and for the sake of all of our children, the EPA must enact these mercury and air toxics pollution controls without further delay. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on behalf of the Sierra Club.
Thank you. During your comments, there were a couple of studies or numbers that
yes.
you cited regarding impacts of power plants. And to the extent those are based on studies, it would be very helpful to have those when you submit your
yes,
comments
I'll provide
to the docket.
Reference.
Thank you. Any additional questions? All right. Thank you very much. The next two witnesses are Joseph Minot from the Clean Air Council. It's probably Minot, I apologize. And Adam Garber from Penn Environment. Okay, Mr. Minot.
Thank you. My name is Joe Minot, and I'm the executive director of the Clean Air Council. And I'm sitting beside my colleague, Adam Garber, who's much better dressed than I am, but so be it. On behalf of the Clean Air Council, I want to thank the United States Environmental Protection Agency for the opportunity to comment on its proposed mercury and air toxic rule. Clean Air Council is a nonprofit environmental and public health advocacy organization that was incorporated in 1967 with operations in Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey. The Council's mission is to protect everyone's right to breathe clean air. The purpose of my testimony today is to strongly urge the EPA to ignore the intense lobbying by the coal industry in trying to get the EPA to overlook the public health threat from coal-burning power plants. As Administrator Jackson recently pointed out on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, this rule has been 21 years in the making. I actually have a site for that, too, if you haven't seen it. Pennsylvania is the ideal setting for this discussion on the harm caused by coal-burning power plants. In 2009, EPA placed Pennsylvania second nationally for emissions of mercury from power plants. The Council lauds the EPA for proposing long-overdue mercury and hazardous air pollutant standards for coal and all-fired electric utility steam-generating units. This is a commendable and necessary step towards strengthening national protection of public health and the environment. Currently, power plants are the dominant source of mercury, 50%, acid gases, over 50%, and other toxic metals, over 25% pollution in the United States. And coal plants are responsible for 99% of mercury pollution. The proposed EPA rule will reduce mercury emission from coal-fired power plants by 91%, acid gas emissions by 91%, sulfur dioxide emissions by 55%. Each year, it will prevent 17,000 premature deaths, 11,000 heart attacks, 120,000 asthma attacks, and 12,200 hospital and emergency room visits, 4,500 cases of chronic bronchitis, and 5.1 million restricted activity days. These benefits are especially important to minority and low-income populations who are disproportionately impacted by asthma and other debilitating environmental health conditions. The EPA's estimate estimates air quality improvements of $59 to $140 billion each year, including an estimated 5 to 13 in health benefits for every dollar spent to reduce air pollution. The EPA also estimates this rule will provide 31,000 short-term construction jobs and 9,000 long-term utility jobs. This rule will level the playing field across the United States so that all power plants will have to limit their emissions of mercury, as plants in some states already do. This is not about politics. It's not about profits. It's not even about what America's energy policy should be. It's about public health. I'm going to stop my comments here, though they go on, and I'd like to enter into the record these comments from Clean Air Council members.
Okay, thank you very much. Mr. Garber.
Thank you. My name is Adam Garber, and I'm the field director for Penn Environment. Penn Environment is a statewide citizen-funded environmental advocacy organization, and we're part of Environment America, a federation of 29 state environmental advocacy organizations that have been very active in advancing state and federal policies to cut mercury and other toxic air emissions from power plants. I'm here today to testify on behalf of our 50,000 Pennsylvania members and activists in support of a strong EPA's strong proposed mercury and air toxics rule. As previously testified by other people, once implemented, this rule will save as many as 17,000 lives every year, will prevent tens of thousands of more hospitalizations, and will significantly cut some of the most hazardous pollutants known to man, such as mercury, lead, and arsenic. For decades, power plants have been a significant source of toxic air pollution in the United States. Coal-fired power plants are the single largest source of mercury pollution, arsenic, and acid gases in the United States. And here in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania's power plants create the second most amount of mercury pollution out of any set of power plants in the country. In addition to mercury, arsenic, and acid gases, power plants spew dozens of other toxic pollutants in the air, including chromium, nickel, lead, and dioxins. They spew hundreds of thousands of tons of these toxic air pollutants into our air and water every year, which are linked to cancer, heart disease, neurological damage, birth defects, asthma attacks, and even premature death. And these coal-fired power plants are responsible for 99% of all mercury emissions from power sector in the U.S. Mercury is especially potent and harmful neurotoxin. Even a gram-sized drop of mercury is enough to contaminate an entire 20-acre lake. When coal-fired power plants emit mercury from their smokestacks, rain, snow, and dust particles wash it out of the air onto land, into waterways, and ultimately into our food chain. Mercury is the most common contaminant in the fish in the United States, and because of this, every state has some sort of fish advisories due to unsafe levels of the toxic pollutant. Here in Pennsylvania, where we have the second most amount of miles of streams and rivers in the entire country, 82 of our waterways have unsafe levels of mercury pollution, including parts of the Delaware River, places some of the best trout stream fishing in the entire country. This pollution puts people who eat the fish at risk of mercury effects, it harms the fishing industry, and it damages ecosystems and species. Wildlife that is exposed to mercury may die or, depending upon the level of exposure, have reduced fertility or complete reproductive failure, as well as slower growth and development. Mercury and other air toxic pollutants were first listed as a hazard air pollutant under the Clean Air Act in 1990, and other coal-fired power plants have remained the single largest source of mercury, arsenic, and acid gases in the United States since then. And coal companies have successfully fought requirements to reduce these toxic air emissions from their facilities for more than two decades. We can't wait any longer to deal with this dangerous toxic. Penn Environment has a long history of working to cut mercury pollution from power plants, and in Pennsylvania, we helped pass a law similar to the proposal rule that would have reduced mercury pollution by 90% here in Pennsylvania. Unfortunately, that law was overturned as we wait for federal national standards to be developed. We can't wait any longer, and we're excited to see these rules hopefully moving forward in the coming months. With our affiliates in other states across the country, we've helped to enact statewide standards to cut mercury pollution from power plants in 13 of the 18 states with standards currently in place. And additionally, other state environment groups, we've been one of the primary litigants in the suit filed against the Bush administration EPA to repeal their illegal mercury standards. And EPA's currently proposed mercury and air toxic standard, we are excited about the strength of the reductions and the estimated health benefits from the rule. We applaud the Environmental Protection Agency for the strength and look forward to working with them as the rule moves forward. Thank you.
Okay. I have one question for you, which is you just mentioned the litigation regarding the previous version of the standard. Was there a particular set of provisions or concern that you had addressed in the litigation that we should be aware of as we develop the next version of the rule?
Are you talking about the state rule or the Bush EPA?
I thought you were referring to litigation on the Bush EPA rule. Is that
sure.
Right?
I don't think there are particular. I mean, the rule that as currently proposed is great from our perspective and goes a long way to dealing with the problem.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Our next two witnesses are Paul J. Miller from the Northeast States for Coordinated Air Use Management and Dr. Walter Sue from the Philadelphia Physicians for Social Responsibility. Gentlemen, thank you. Mr. Miller.
Good morning. My name is Paul Miller. It's M-I-L-L-E-R if you need that. I am deputy of the Northeast States for Coordinated Air Use Management, or NESCOM. NESCOM is an association of eight state air quality agencies in the Northeast, which includes the six New England states, New Jersey, and New York. I am speaking today on behalf of NESCOM's member states on EPA's proposal to establish mercury and air toxic standards for coal and oil electric generating. The NESCOM states are pleased to see that EPA's proposed mercury and air toxic standards improve upon the vacated Clean Air Mercury Rule and are better aligned with the statutory language of the Clean Air Act and sound public health policy. For this hearing, I will focus on EPA's proposed maximum achievable control technology, or MACT, standards for mercury. I would like to leave you with three main points from my testimony today. First, a number of the NESCOM states have already adopted tight mercury emission limits for coal-fired power plants as a matter of state law. In the majority of these states, the final mercury limits are substantially more stringent than EPA's proposal. Second, these rules have been in effect for several years now, and pollution controls, both newly installed and previously existing, have a track record of demonstrated compliance with the state mercury limits. Third, based on the state's experience with their own rules and a recent NESCOM control technology assessment, there are a number of demonstrated, commercially available, and cost-effective control options for power plant owners to choose from that will greatly reduce mercury pollution, as well as emissions of the other air toxics covered under EPA's proposal. Experience also shows that these can be installed in most cases within the required Clean Air Act timeline. From a public health perspective, the consumption of mercury-tainted fish is the primary route of exposure for most people. To address this public health concern, each NESCOM state has established a total maximum daily load, or TMDL, for mercury entering state waters pursuant to the Federal Clean Water Act. These water quality standards are based on reducing mercury levels in fish caught in state waters and consumed by the public. The NESCOM states project they will need a reduction in mercury deposited from the air relative to 1998 levels in the range of 87% to 98% in order to achieve fish tissue mercury levels more fully protective of public health. With regard to state mercury rules, NESCOM states had begun as early as 2001 to adopt rules addressing mercury emissions from existing coal plants. These states include Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, and New York. The majority of the state rules require mercury limits significantly tighter than what EPA is proposing, with the tightest state limits set at a level of about only one quarter of EPA's proposed mercury standard. Coal units in the NESCOM states with mercury rules have demonstrated compliance with those rules. They have achieved the standards using a combination of control options, including activated carbon injection, selective catalytic reduction, dry scrubbers, fabric filters, dry sorbent injection, and spray dryer absorption. Several coal units did not need to install new controls, as they were already meeting the applicable mercury limits with existing technology. We will submit to this rulemaking docket a recent NESCOM report assessing control technologies for coal-fired power plants. This report provides an overview of well-established, commercially available emission control technologies for coal-fired power plants. Many of these are already installed on coal units in the NESCOM states and operating successfully. The timelines required to install needed controls typically fall well within the statutory timelines given by the Clean Air Act. This successful track record demonstrates that there are no insurmountable technology, cost, or timing barriers to achieving EPA's proposed mercury and air toxic standards. In closing, we urge EPA to hew to the statutory deadlines for implementing its proposed air toxic standards. The NESCOM states have demonstrated that mercury limits more stringent than what EPA has proposed are achievable and have been achieved at existing coal units. On a national basis, EPA's proposed standards have been long in coming. Any further delay in protecting the public's health and environment is simply unwarranted. NESCOM will be submitting more detailed written comments to the docket, and we thank you for your attention to our testimony today.
Thank you.
My name is Dr. Walter Tsu. I'm the past president of the American Public Health Association and the current president of the Philadelphia chapter of Physicians for Social Responsibility. And today I speak on behalf of both organizations in favor of the proposed mercury and air toxics standards. Known sources like fossil fuel-fired power plants have fought regulations for the past 20 years, claiming that compliance is too expensive and unnecessary. However, air pollution remains a serious health hazard, and these long overdue rules need to be implemented now. Currently, our air remains a waste dump caused by the spewing of known toxins such as carcinogenic volatile organic compounds, fine particulate matter that clogs up our airways and triggers asthma and heart attacks, and heavy metals which settle into our soils and end up contaminating our food supply. The American Lung Association estimates the more than 400 coal-fired power plants release over 386,000 1,000 tons of air pollution each year into the atmosphere. To give you a picture of what this looks like, consider that the air pollution spewed out by the coal-fired power plants exceeds the weight of the entire Empire State Building by 21,000 tons each year. We cannot allow America's bona fide search for energy to override the public's concern about our health, especially when we have known solutions available and which some businesses will not invest in without a swift kick in the pants by the EPA. The proposed toxics rules mandates the reduction of pollution by the installation of scrubbers and proven technology at the power plant source. And it's estimated that more than half of the nation's power plants have already installed such pollution devices. But without a clear national standard, other plants simply feel free to pollute our air and streams. Air pollution, like epidemics, is not contained by political boundaries. Source air pollution in neighboring states can and will travel across borders, which is why the EPA is uniquely empowered to create and enforce these regulations. And in fact, that is why you must enforce these standards. By 2016, the EPA estimates that these proposed standards would result in saving an estimated 6,800 to 17,000 premature deaths, 11,000 heart attacks, 120,000 cases of aggravated asthma, and 850,000 missed days of work. The EPA estimated the health costs associated with this morbidity and mortality at over $100 billion. The cost of compliance with these regulations is about 10% of that, $10.9 billion. From a societal point of view, the economic argument overwhelmingly favors the passage of these regulations. The installation of these pollution control devices are built here in America, and they employ American workers to install them. So to summarize, we have waited 20 years to propose these regulations. And meanwhile, we have tolerated the equivalent of more than the Empire State Building's weight worth of pollution of heavy metals, VOCs, and fine particulate matter, which has contaminated our air passages, spoiled our soil, and put methylmercury in our fish. Hundreds of thousands of needless days have been lost to missed days of work, and kids have missed school because of asthma attack. We're asking that all power plants comply with some pretty common sense precautions that comes down to this. If you're going to burn coal or fossil fuels, use the best technology to prevent polluting the air. At a time when the American workforce needs to be fully productive and when our kids need to be in school if we are to compete in a global economy, we applaud these new proposed EPA rules that will help reduce mercury and other air toxins from polluting our air and keeping the public healthy. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you, gentlemen. Yes?
It would be helpful, Mr. Miller, if you could include information in your report about the size and age of the facilities that have installed the controls.
Next up, we have Stephen G. Harvey from the Sierra Club and Reverend Cheryl Perch from the Summit Presbyterian Church.
Good morning. My name is Steve Harvey. I'm a lawyer here in Philadelphia and a member of the Sierra Club. I live here in the East Falls section of the city with my family. We are outdoor enthusiasts. I commute to work by bike 12 miles a day all year round. I also ride and race with a local bike club. My kids ride bikes in this community and play baseball, lacrosse, golf, and tennis, and just play like kids outdoors whenever the weather is nice, which is pretty often here. My wife often walks in our neighborhood in beautiful city parks. We are very concerned about the quality of the environment here in Philadelphia and everywhere, really. We spend 2 weeks every summer on a beautiful lake called Stockbridge Bowl in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. I have been spending time on that lake most every summer since the 1960s. In many respects, the environmental quality seems good up there. I recall a wonderful evening last summer fishing with my son Jack from a canoe on Stockbridge Bowl. There were blue herons on the shoreline looking over the water for fish. Over our head in a tall pine tree was an American bald eagle surveying the same scene, also fishing. I looked at my son and said, "Wow, if the blue herons and the bald eagle fish here, this must be a really good spot." It may be a beautiful spot, but the fact is that we are advised not to eat largemouth bass that we catch in the lake because of mercury contamination. We often catch and release because we are good sports people, but it's really alarming that we cannot eat our largemouth bass if we want to. What does that say about the long-term consequences for the ecosystem? Is it just going to get worse and worse, or are we going to take reasonable measures to protect ourselves? The EPA's proposed air quality standards are a reasonable measure needed to protect ourselves from mercury pollution. The health risk from mercury, especially to young children, are undeniable. It's really unbelievable that at present there are no national limits on the amount of mercury and other forms of pollution released from power plant smokestacks. We need the new standards now. I spent most of my time talking about our concern about mercury in our water, but there are other pollutants that are different but just as bad that will be addressed by these standards. These other pollutants include arsenic, chromium, and nickel, as well as fine particle pollution. Each year for the past 5 years, I have worked hard to get myself into peak condition, physical condition for summer races. I was surprised to find that one of the biggest factors that affects my training and performance in races is the asthma that I have developed and that is caused or exacerbated by breathing polluted air, which seems particularly bad in the summer months. I can control the condition with an inhaler, but many people cannot. It would be real nice to know from my neighbors and myself and my children and their children that this problem of bad air quality is getting better, not worse. I urge the EPA to adopt the new standards and enforce them aggressively. Please know that the public very much supports the EPA's efforts on this very important subject. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Cheryl Perch. I'm the pastor of the Summit Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Pennsylvania chapter of Interfaith Power and Light. I'm not here to tell you, the EPA, of the dangers of mercury and other toxins. You've done the studies, you've reviewed the literature, and you've told us how many thousands of children struggle with asthma or learning difficulties, how many thousands of people have heart attacks or die before their time because of the poisons in the air. So I'm here to say thank you for your work and to say thank you for proposing standards that will prevent so many deaths and so much suffering. I'm also here to encourage you to stand fast and to not delay. As a pastor, I visit and pray with families. I've seen the anguish parents face when their child is diagnosed with cancer, and I've seen the pain of that child. I've led funerals for middle-aged parents who have left teenagers behind. I've listened to worried parents who can't understand why their child is having so much trouble learning to read. And as a former elementary school teacher, I've also seen how hard it is for children to catch up when asthma has sent them to the emergency room rather than to class. I know we can't trace any particular heart attack or asthma attack or learning disability to mercury poisoning or particulate matter, but I've seen the havoc and the pain that such illnesses bring. The proposed standards will be a blessing for the many families who will be spared such illnesses if we have cleaner air. As a Christian, I believe that God took on a body in Jesus of Nazareth, therefore hallowing all of our bodies, assuring us, for those of us who had doubts, that they're gifts from God to be handled with love and care. According to the Gospels, Jesus spent most of his days healing people, young and old, rich and poor, showing that God desires us to be healthy and whole, and that healing is holy work. I believe that we're all called to that work, whatever our faith or belief system, as a community and as a nation. When we protect our air, we're doing that work. We're caring for our health and protecting the most vulnerable among us, especially children and those who live in poor communities. I support the proposed standards. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thanks to both of you. The next two people to testify will be Eileen O'Boyle from Greenpeace and Jay Butera, who is an individual who is testifying on his own behalf.
Good morning. I'm reading this on behalf of Robert Gardner, coal campaigner at Greenpeace USA, who unfortunately cannot
I'm sorry to interrupt. Could you move the microphone a little closer to you?
Better?
Better, and I guess you'll need to speak a little louder, too.
Better?
Much better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you want me to start over?
Sure.
Okay. Good morning. I'm reading this on behalf of Robert Gardner, coal campaigner at Greenpeace USA, who unfortunately cannot be here today. I would like to begin by thanking the EPA for having this hearing and for following through on your commitment to safeguarding public health. This is especially important given the extreme toxicity of the hazardous air pollutants covered under this proposed rule. Burning coal is the cause of about half of the mercury pollution in the United States. By implementing common sense safeguards on coal plants throughout the United States, you, the EPA, are not acting contrary to your mandate or to the will of thousands of Americans that will be protected by these standards. History will judge your action as well-reasoned and derived from a place of moral clarity. I say that this rule derives from a position of moral clarity, but there are readily ascertainable benefits to this rulemaking. Here is what we know with certainty about these rules. This rule will save lives. As you will hear throughout the day, according to your own analysis, this safeguard will prevent 17,000 premature deaths, 11,000 heart attacks, and 120,000 cases of childhood asthma symptoms each year, in addition to the 11,000 cases of acute bronchitis among children yearly. Over 400,000 newborns are affected by mercury pollution each year, with as many as 1 in 6 American women of childbearing age having high enough mercury levels to risk poisoning their babies, which causes brain damage, birth defects, and learning disabilities. Other well-known and researched health concerns include premature death, respiratory diseases, cancer, reproductive problems such as reduced fertility, cardiovascular effects, damage to the immune system, and also eye irritation. This rule will protect the environment. Mercury, arsenic, acid gases, and other hazardous air pollutants are a scourge to our environment. In 2008, nearly half of all U.S. river miles and lake acres were under water contamination advisories. This is including 100% of the Great Lakes. Over time, just 1 gram of mercury per year can contaminate a 20-acre lake. The vast majority of this contamination was due to coal-fired power plants. Protecting our environment from long-term destruction, including the well-known effects of acid rain as a result of hazardous air pollutants, is common sense, and while it should have been done 20 years ago, we urge you not to delay these rules any further. This rule will create jobs. Under your own estimates, this rule will lead to 31,000 short-term construction jobs and 9,000 long-term utility jobs. Decreasing mercury levels from coal-fired power plants can be done in the short term with readily available technology and a willing workforce. Put America to work, ensuring public health and safety. This rule will create clarity for the utility sector. The energy sector has made it abundantly clear that they crave reliability in the regulatory process. This rule will do just that, transforming a patchwork quilt of state regulations into a baseline safeguard for hazardous air pollutants. Currently, only 17 states have established mercury emission limits on coal plants. That's far from adequate, especially since the states with the largest volume of mercury emissions do not have emissions limits. While your rationale for enacting these safeguards may include any of the above, or may be more comprehensive, the bottom line is that we cannot continue to burn coal to generate electricity without safeguarding our public health and our environmental integrity. Coal-fired power plants are the largest single source of toxic mercury air emissions in the country and nearly 99% of mercury emissions from the electricity sector. Approximately 96,000 pounds or 48 tons of mercury is emitted yearly by coal-fired power plants. That number is staggering. While the coal industry lobbyists are doing everything they can to undermine the EPA's ability to protect American families from these and other pollutants, we would like to take this time to thank you for your effort. However, we would urge you not to respond to industry requests for more time, lesser standards, and more flexibility. It is the same mantra repeated time and time again. The time to protect Americans from the coal industry is right now. Energy should not cost lives, and any delay will mean lost lives. Thank you very much for your time.
And thank you.